Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I got a little introduction here before I get the actual text that I'll use. And I preached last Sunday about different kinds of messages. So get your fingers ready. This is a topical message. I want to look at four or five different passages of Scripture. So you want to be able to turn to them. Be ready up in the sound room to do your little typing thing, whatever it is you got to do. But we'll start with 1 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 18. So I start out with a couple of apologies. Well, that's unusual for Pastor Rader, isn't it? I never stick my foot in my mouth, do I? The day that I put it out in the prayer alert that my great-grandchild was born into this world, and you wouldn't believe the text I got from ladies, pastor, you know, I didn't even answer them, you know, because I was told about it right away, immediately, right on the spot. So I announced that my great-grandchild was born, and I announced her name as Victoria Jean Bonnie. Now, here's the background to that story. Now, obviously, it's not Victoria Jean, it's Violet Ann Bonnie, right? You can imagine the tenseness in my house when I went home, all right? So I put that out. It goes out all over the place in that prayer alert. There's even missionaries to get that. It goes out all over the place. And Deb gets a hold of me. See, the day before, there's a little bit of a connection there. I didn't lose it totally. And the truth is, I don't know any of my grandkids' birthdays. I know my wife's birthday, and I know my birthday. And my dad, because my dad and my wife's birthday is the same day. I couldn't tell you when Josh's birthday is. I can't tell you when Caleb's birthday is. You know, any of the kids' birthdays. I can't tell you when they are. Those things, that doesn't matter to me. A name is a little bit more important, though. She told me the day before, and I knew it started with a V, and I actually knew it was Violet, but I couldn't remember Violet. So I'm thinking, Victoria, that's what it is. And while I'm making the announcement on the one call now, I'm thinking, that's a good, strong name. Queen Victoria, Victory. And the middle name is a middle name of Debbie said, Mom, Deanna Jean Rader. And she mentioned somebody else in the family. Piper Jean Rader. Okay, so that's what it is. So it's Victoria Jean Bonnie. It's not. It's Violet. The middle name is the middle name of Deb's mom, Ann, and my daughter, Becky Ann. So you see, there was a connection there. I wasn't way out in left field. Now here's the message. Here's the danger. You can't listen to every other word. Men, you got to know this. When your wife is talking to you, you can't listen to every other word. You got to listen to every word. And I've got this habit, all the ladies say amen. Yeah. Yeah, I've got this habit of, and some of the women around here, they got it figured out. I remember when Teresa Altoff, she's teaching kindergarten, and she's always got a lot of words, doesn't she, Tom? And you know, she figured out if she's standing right here and she's not looking into my eyes and I'm not looking into hers, if I'm looking over here, I'm really not hearing a lot of what she's saying. She picked up on that after a while, and she started doing her morning talk, and I'm kind of looking over here, and what I got to do, she said, Pastor, look at me right here. Yeah. I know you're not listening if you're not looking. Okay, so here it is. It's preaching time. You got to listen. You stay with me every word, all right? 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's get to it. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Oh, one more thing. Time out. For 3 weeks in a row, The balls at Wilderness Treasure, they've been giving me free coffee. That Pickford Wilderness Treasure. I mean, I go in there, even when I try to pay for it. No, Pastor, it's free. It's, you know, you can't pay for it. Your money's no good. And I said, listen, I'm going to mention you on live stream. Just so I forgot. For 3 weeks in a row, they've been listening, and I've forgotten. I got it written right down here in this post-it. Wilderness Treasures in Pickford. Now, that ought to be good for about another 3 or 4 weeks of free coffee right there, right? Stand with me out of respect for God's word. 1 Timothy, chapter 1. Verse 18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightst war a good warfare. Make no mistake about it, the Christian life is a war. It's a battle. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. You can be a Christian and lose your way. You don't lose your salvation, but you lose your way. And he mentions two men here by name that made a shipwreck of the faith. They made shipwreck of their life. We put it out this week on the internet and in the evening news that this week I was going to preach on God has a plan for your life. He does. Father in heaven, we pray your blessing upon the word of God. We ask that this morning you direct my thoughts and you direct my eyes in the scripture and my words. And Lord, may I do a good job of proclaiming God's plan for our lives. And I pray that people here would take note and remember, and God, the Holy Spirit would just hook it in their soul when they hear scripture. And God, they'd never be able to escape it, never be able to explain it away. God, if they're truly your child, you'll continue to work on them and make them and develop them into the man and woman of God they are called of God to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. America's kind of lost its way. I don't know if you realize that or not. And we are floundering spiritually. There's no doubt about that. We need a Holy Spirit revival. And it doesn't take much for men to turn their back on God. We don't know what's going to happen as far as the economy. Some good signs this last week. I'm glad for that. But now today in America, immorality is the norm. Amen. It's what everybody does. It's just like Old Testament Israel when it got away from God before God had to chastise them and take them into the Babylonian captivity. Perversion is the norm. Murder by way of abortion, it's the norm. It's an essential. Now we've got everything all twisted around here in America. Core values. Yeah, it's changed for so many people. And I thank the Lord for Fundamental Baptist Church. Amen. And we are not a perfect people, and we are not a people that's got all of our ducks in a row all of the time. We, because there are so many people, and because there are so many new people, and then old people that kind of, what the Old Testament term is backslide, get away from God. It's a constant battle. And sometimes it feels like it's all uphill. But here's the message this morning, before I get to the core of the text. God has a plan for your life. You have a choice. You had a choice on whether you're going to get born again or not. You had a choice to receive Christ and his gift of eternal life. Repent of your sin with your heart and receive God's gift of eternal life. To receive that gift or to reject it. That was your choice. And I hope you chose well and you received the gift of eternal life. After you get born again, two kinds of people in this world, saved and unsaved. That's it. Now, after you get born again, among the saved, there are two kinds of people. The obedient and the disobedient. Just like in your family. You have kids that are obedient, you have kids that are disobedient. And they kind of overlap from time to time and change roles from time to time. And it's a choice that we make. God has a plan for your life. You have a choice to be in his perfect will, which is a life of blessings, peace, and abundance, and purpose. Or you can be a disobedient child of God, saved by grace, and go the way of the world, and it's a life of broken hearts. It's a life of getting banged around all of your life and bruised. And it's a tough life. Remember what John Wayne said. Life is tough, and it's tougher when you're stupid. If you choose to be that stupid child of God, that you receive salvation, the gift of eternal life, all of grace and all of mercy, and you took Jesus as your Savior, and he changed your eternal destiny, and now you got the Holy Spirit living within you. If you choose to go back to the world, I'm telling you, that's stupid. That is stupid. You say, man, I'm born again. I've got Jesus as my Savior. I know my name is written down, but I love sin. Oh, man, I want to be like everybody else. That is stupid when you have a life of blessing and a life of purpose. And a life of peace. There's God's perfect will, and there's God's permissive will. You say, what do you mean by that? Perfect means you're smack dab in the center of God's will for your life. Smack dab, that is a Greek word in the New Testament. It's right there, right where you're supposed to be. Smack dab in the center of your life, that's in being in God's perfect will. God's permissive will, I'm saved by grace, but you make poor choices. And you end up over here on the fringe. And your life really has no purpose, and you really struggle through life, and it's uphill every day of your life. You get some blessings and you get some good times, but it's not what God. It's a life full of regrets when you get to the end. You want God's perfect will. Really, simply put, that's where it's at. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119, verses 105. I wanted to turn there before this, and I forgot. Psalm 119 and verse 105. This is how you're going to be in God's perfect will. Now, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God has a plan. He'll order the direction, and he'll order your very steps. You say, okay, I understand there's a plan, and I'm going to get to that in just a moment. Just let me make this one point. You say, how about my daily living? How am I going to know what to do every day of my life? The little decisions. There is a known will of God. Universal will of God. That's my sermon this morning. That's what I'm going to preach. There are certain things that are the same for all of us, and it's the will of God. That's the way it is. And then there's the day-to-day living that you need God the Holy Spirit and you need the Bible to lead you in that day-to-day living. I can't tell you what those things are. I can't tell you what to eat for breakfast. I can't tell you what shirt you're supposed to wear that day. Although I could help some of you, all right? I can't tell you those kinds of things. That's not what I'm talking about. You say, well, how do I know what to do in those day-to-day decisions? Psalm 119 and verse 105. Verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. 119th Psalm is all about the word of God. What is the psalmist saying? He's saying, it's the Bible. It's the Bible. It's the word. He says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's how you know what to do during the day. You cannot know, listen to this. You cannot know the will of God for your life without being in the Bible that day. You can't. That's not an original thought with me. I've heard preachers preach that for years, old-time preachers. You cannot know God's perfect will for your life today without spending time with God today in the Bible. And that Bible is a lamp on your feet. It's a light on your path. That way you know where to step. You're not going to step off the edge of the cliff into the dark and then open up your Bible and try to get God's blessing upon it. You make all kinds of stupid decisions without God directing in your life. Don't follow your heart. Don't follow the flesh. Follow the Word of God. It's a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. That's how I know what to do and how to say things. And it's amazing how God feeds you. By the way, I'll give you a little heads up on the Jimmy DeYoung meetings coming. I spent about almost an hour with him on the phone. I guess it was closer to 40 minutes on the phone this last week. And I got the end of the conversation. He said, he's almost 80 years old. I said, preacher, I don't get around. Somebody listened to him yesterday on the radio. He's on 600 stations. He said, preacher, I don't get around too much anymore, but I'm telling you, he is witty and he is sharp, and I'll give you a heads up. And I had a man in the church tell me this. He listens to him every Saturday. You got to understand this. He's on for 3 half-hour segments every Saturday on 600 radio stations. This guy is Mr. Bible Prophecy. He's Mr. Fundamentalist, Mr. Conservative, premillennial, pre-tribulation. He's everything he's supposed to be. And he's the expert guy. But if you do not bring your Bible to these meetings, and it's going to be 45 minutes of questions and answers before every evening service. And if you do not bring a pen and a tablet, he's going to chew you out. He said, I'm not here to entertain you. I'm going to give you truth. You got to write this down. It's going to be like getting a drink out of a fire hydrant. You know, you got to take some notes. So I'm telling you, if you don't bring a tablet to church already, you better get one ready for the end of the month. All right? You'll not know the will of God for your life apart from the Word of God. You've got to have the Bible. It's got to be real. Okay, here's the known will of God. Here's some things I know for sure. I know God wants you in his heaven. I know what the Word of God teaches. 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, God would have all men to be saved. I know that is the known will of God. That's a universal truth. That is a truth that is never going to change. God, Jesus died for the sins of the world. God, this is God's will. You go to heaven. If God had his will done in the United States of America, in Michigan, in the UP, around the world, every soul born on this planet would come to Christ and get born again. And there's no shortcuts. There's no other way to heaven. It's only Jesus. It's an exclusive way. Heaven isn't for the religious elite, but it is one way to heaven. His name is Jesus. He said, straight and narrow is the way that leadeth to life eternal, and few there be that find it. Broad's the way that leadeth unto destruction. He said, I am the way, definite article, the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's one way to heaven. His name is Jesus. And if God's will is done, if you're not born again yet, you'll get saved. You will come to Christ because God will not damn you to hell. You will damn yourself to hell because you're a sinner and you didn't get saved by grace. You didn't get born again. And that's a decision that you make. So God's will is that we would all go to heaven. Very obvious. By the way, before I go to the second point here, it's God's will. Sometimes we speak of that like it's a mystical kind of thing. God's will for your life is not a roadmap. It's a relationship. It's just like I preached last Sunday. The old-time religion is not a list of do's and don'ts. They're good, and they're Bible-based, and they're Bible commands. But the old-time religion goes far beyond that. The old-time religion is me being so in love with my Savior, I would do nothing to darken his smile. His very will, his very desire, that's my motive for living. That's the old-time religion. You get in love with God like that, man, not drinking, that's a piece of cake. Not smoking, that's a piece of cake. Not going to evil places, that's a piece of cake. I don't want to darken. I got a letter from a viewer, and I won't mention their name. This is from the Sioux. Greetings, Pastor Rader. This is a live stream viewer, probably watching right now. I want to tell you how much your message last Sunday opened my eyes. There are things that I've done since coming to Christ and becoming a Christian in 1983 that aren't forbidden in the Bible, but looking at them in light of the Word of God you preached last week, I can see that they did not make God smile. Amen. Old-time religion is not getting as close to the world as I can get and still be a child of God. Old-time religion is getting as close to Jesus as I can get and honoring him and loving him. That's the old-time religion. God has a plan, and the perfect plan is this. Number one, get saved. Number two, get baptized. And boy, I wish we could look at all the texts, but we can't. Let's look at Matthew chapter 3, Gospel of Matthew and chapter 3. A lot of people have gotten saved, and they've not gotten baptized. And you go to heaven without getting baptized. Baptism is identifying with Jesus, but if you're going to fulfill the will of God in your life, you're going to get baptized. You want to identify with him. Yesterday we had a funeral here. What a privilege to be a gospel preacher. I know Josh and Bill feel the very same way. And it was a wonderful funeral. It was for George Hill Jr. He went home to be with the Lord. He'd gotten saved. He rededicated his life later in life. And man, and we know he's in God's heaven. And nobody was in a hurry. And everybody was listening closely. And if there were 100 people here, 30 people got saved yesterday. If there were 80 people here, 20 people got saved yesterday. I don't count nickels and noses. I don't do that. But it was sweet. It was real. And nobody was in any hurry. And I got to preach the gospel and share the gospel and go line by line and build the truth and what it was all about. And man, they wanted to receive Jesus as their Savior. And I was thinking after the funeral service, you know how many people have been saved in funeral services in the Eastern Upper Peninsula over the years? My biggest evangelistic effort in 40 years has been at funeral services. I've led a lot of people to the Lord one-on-one, a lot of people to the Lord in the church services, a lot of people to the Lord right here at the altar. And we've done that. And God blesses in all our ministries, a lot of people. But I'm telling you, more people have gotten saved at funeral services. And if we could just get them out to church, but the fact is this, we're going to be surprised at who's in heaven because of those funeral services. I've never done a funeral service where someone hasn't professed faith in Christ. It's an amazing thing to the glory of God. What a privilege it is. Thank you for allowing me to preach that sermon yesterday. Thank you for allowing me to do that funeral yesterday. And Scott, my heart went out to you. I know what it is to bury a brother. And man, it's a tough thing. But God certainly blessed. And there are a lot of people here that weren't church-going people. I hope they're live stream watching people now. But a lot of people that aren't church-going and they receive Christ as their Savior. What a privilege. But after you get saved, if you're going to live for God, you identify with him. Matthew chapter 3 verse 13 says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John the Baptist, to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou unto me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered." He was a great example. And then when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the ministry gets started right there. So Jesus got baptized as our example and to fulfill the law. And a voice from heaven, from God the Father, and a dove descended down upon him. And there's a command that after someone gets born again, they're to be baptized. Matthew chapter 28, the church born, and Acts in chapter 2, over and over again. After salvation, if you're really saved, man, don't be identify with him. And that's what baptism is. And the word baptizo means to submerge. It is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Sprinkling doesn't do that. And it's always believers' baptism. Nowhere in the Bible do babies get baptized. That is not in the 66 books that make up the Word of God. That's why it's called believers' baptism. After you receive faith, or after you receive Christ, you're born again. Then you say, man, I want to identify. I'm going to put on the uniform. And you identify with Jesus, the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection. That's the will of God. That's the first step of obedience after you get born again. If you've gotten saved and you've not yet been baptized, we got a tank. We don't have to go down to Duke's Lake or Kinross Lake anymore. Praise God. That water gets cold down there sometimes. We have a tank. And that tank, I don't even have to get in the water with you. It's a wonderful tank. I stand behind the tank. Oh, I love it. I love it dearly. And if you've not been baptized, you need to get baptized and get the church. This is the will of God. You know the text. You know one of the texts. You know the famous text. And it just summarizes it so well, it's hard not to use that text. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Great summary text. Verse 24. So you go to church after you get saved. You say, why do I go to church? You say, I got saved. I'm going to heaven. Why do I need to go to church? Because it ain't about you. It's not about me. It's about reaching our community for Christ. Yeah. It's about my brother in the Lord that sees me start to skip church, so it's a little easier for him to skip church. It's about my brother or sister in the Lord that comes to the assembly and they need encouragement and you're not there. It says here in verse 24, and let us consider one another. That's a novel idea. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love. You say, well, the Bible doesn't say I got to be in every service. There you go again. That's not the old time religion. But the Bible does say you're supposed to be in every service. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, ecclesia, as the manner of some is. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, to excite one another for the cause of Christ. Get some vision. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. You say, well, I'm born again. I'm part of the family of God. That's the church of Christ prospect. We'll never congregate until we get to heaven after the sound of the trump. Here on this earth, he's ordained the New Testament local church, and we're here as lighthouses, as an outpost, as a city that is set on a hill so that others will come to Christ. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle and then the temple was the center of life for the Jewish people. They lived for it. David wrote about it and sung about it. They marched together in tribes, that's families, under worship. Man, they loved the festivals. They loved the feast days. They loved the Sabbaths. They loved the high Sabbaths. They loved the times they came together. They sang in rounds, if you do some study on that. There were choirs in the temple and in the tabernacle, and they lifted their voices, and other people sang right along with them while they were singing. That's the old-time religion. And the New Testament local church, this is what God would have for you and for me. Make the church the center of your social life. Become a member. Now, let me say something to the members of Fundamental Baptist Church. Well, you're all looking at right here, eyeball to eyeball, just like Teresa. Look right at me now, all right? Eyeball to eyeball. We've gone through this pandemic. I'm not criticizing anybody. I just pray, like every other pastor of a fundamental church is praying, that you have not gone on vacation from God. That we need bigger prayer meetings. We have hundreds of people that come here. How many people were here last Sunday or last Wednesday night? What do you figure? 50? Maybe. And I know the pandemic's still going on. That's pathetic. We don't even get together unless we want to get together because we pray. We pray all over the church. We got to get the church revved up again. Yeah. The boiler is prayer meeting. Yeah. Let me say this. If you're a King's Kids worker, you need to be in prayer meeting. There's no King's Kids going on right now. Why do you go to King's Kids? Man, there is no sweeter service at Fundamental Baptist Church. And there have been times when we've had 300 people here at prayer meeting. There is no sweeter service than coming together and having people scatter all over the auditorium. And I always pray right here. That's where I pray. And whoever draws the short straw, they're with me or in my group. And we pray together right here. And I love to, in the middle of prayer, just kind of lift my head and listen. And I can't hear any words audibly. But listen to all the people praying all over. Those are the best times of Fundamental Baptist Church. We're going to get to heaven, and we're going to find out the best days of revival was when our prayer meeting crowds were the biggest. Right. And I'm not chewing anybody out. I'm just saying, I think maybe some people have forgotten. We got to have prayer meeting. Because it ain't about a program. It ain't about me blessing you with my presence, or you blessing me with your presence, or your little bit of service, or my little bit of service. It's about God. It's about calling down God, asking God for his blessing. It's about preparing our church heart, our families, and our own heart for the blessings of God. Don't forget God. You know, we are called of God to be people of prayer. We are called of God to be New Testament church people. We are called of God to be, that is the will of God. It's the will of God that everybody gets saved. So it was God's will that you got saved. If you got saved, glory to God. That's wonderful. If you're not saved, you've got to get saved. That's the will of God. It's the will of God after salvation that you get baptized. It's not a second work of grace. It's just identifying with Christ, saying, I'm his. I'm not ashamed. We talked about that, not being ashamed this morning in Sunday school, three times in 2 Timothy in chapter 1. I'm not ashamed. I'm his, all right? And that's the will of God. It's the will of God that we get baptized. It's the will of God that we get to church. Man, honor God. Bless the brethren. You know, encourage them and excite them to do bigger things for God. Nothing worse than having somebody newly born again and they come to Sunday night and the crowd's half the size of Sunday morning. Sometimes that's the way it is. And they think, man, I guess this New Testament Christianity thing is 1 hour a week. And that's what they learn. I'm not chewing anybody out. We have great Sunday night crowds. We do. And normally we have great prayer meeting crowds. But I'm concerned because we've been in this pandemic. Wednesday night prayer meeting, 7 o'clock. Now, we just happen to have a missionary with us this week as well. But we're not taking away from prayer time. We're in and out of here in an hour. But it's a hour of power, all right? That's the will of God. It's also the will of God. Take your Bibles quickly and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Say, man, somebody made Pastor Rader mad today. No, not at all. Not at all. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Chapter 6, verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal, but where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This isn't what I was going to say, but I do want to throw this out there right now. Our offerings have been great through the whole pandemic. God's people have been faithful. And I don't know if it's people just tithing more. Obviously, they would have more of a tithe with their stimulus check or whatever it is they got. Or I don't know. I don't look all the ins and outs. I don't understand that. But I just know that God has been good to Fundamental Baptist Church. And we haven't been taking any of the offerings. People have been mailing it in and doing it online by way of Givelify. And we're not taking an offering this morning because we're not passing the plate. We will next week, by the way. But the plates are in the back. On the way out, we'll have a couple of men there. You just put the money in the plate and they'll get it. They'll take care of it right away. So God bless you. God's people are giving people, and I thank God for that. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then it goes on, talks about the light of the body. Look at verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I had a lady come up to me Wednesday night after prayer meeting and say, Pastor, I want to testify. Now, the way she walked up to me, I thought she was going to chew me out for something. All right? I stand right over here, and she's walking towards me with a very purposeful walk. I recognize that walk when women are walking towards me. I tried to avoid her for a minute, but it wasn't going to work. Right? So we made eye contact. And she said, Pastor, I don't know if other people are finding this to be true or not, but this pandemic, we have been blessed of God. And we've been tithing off of everything. And it's like it's over the top and abundant. I say the same thing. The blessings of God. And she's not the first to tell me that. I have had several tell me that. This time where we've been kind of away from one another for a period of time, and those that have been faithful, tithing people, giving people, God just kind of kept flowing it on, kept pouring it on and pouring it on. And money came in my direction that it was not planned. I had no, it wasn't on my radar, not at all. How many could just say amen? If that has been true, this pandemic for you, say amen right now. Amen. God has been good to us. Tough times, are you kidding? I guess it's always tough times if you're not a tither, though. God's people are giving people. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Get Jesus first in your life. So I'll say this again. I'm out of time. We got to get the engine revved up. Fundamental Baptist Church is not a machine, but there's a good metaphor there. It's like a big machine with all kinds of ministries. And we got to get things rolling. Get some vision. Get some vision. Now, we got a pretty full house this morning. We couldn't put too many more in. We could squeeze in. We could get junior church, you know, constantly over in the Heritage building, and we've done that. But we're ready to knock out some walls. We're ready to make the bathrooms a little bit bigger. We're ready to do a few things. Those things are going to come by and by. In the meantime, spiritually, we've got to get things revving. We got to win people to Christ. We got to tell others about Jesus. You say, I don't have a whole lot to give God. I want to say this in closing. You, as far as God having a plan for your life, you are important to God. Every single person here, important to God. We've all got a part to play. There's a part for us to sing in God's heavenly choir. We're all part of the family of God. And for everything to get revved up. And some people need encouragement. Some people, you got to be faithful again. I missed you on Sunday night. Where you been? You know, and we just kind of, and I realize we're not quite through the pandemic yet. I know that. But let's get things roaring. Let's get things revving. God will bless.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.